Good morning. My name is Patsy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Homex second quarter 2012 earnings results. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Vania Fueyo, you may begin your presentation.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Homex second quarter 2012 earnings call. Before we start, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this conference call about future events and financial results constitute forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainty. Discussion of factors that may affect future results are contained in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We undertake no obligation to correct or update any forward-looking statements provided as a result of new information, future events, or even changes in our expectations. On the call with me today are Gerardo de Nicolás, Chief Executive Officer, and Carlos Moctezuma, our Chief Financial Officer. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo, who will share some thoughts with you about Homex's strategies and results for each of the company's 4 divisions. Following Gerardo's discussion, Carlos will carry you through our second quarter financial statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Vania. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's call. As we have completed the first half of the year, during this call, I would like to share with you some perspective on the main trends and results of this period, particularly during the second quarter, and then provide some of our thinking and views about the second half of the year. I will start with our Mexico division. During the second quarter, we continued to increase our participation in the vertical construction business model. And I can tell you that vertical construction now represents 45% of total homes under construction, up from 41% at the end of the first quarter of 2012. As we have previously mentioned, our goal was to have 45% of our total product mix in vertical construction for the end of 2012. After the successful advance that we have done, and to benefit the most today and in the future from implemented programs in support of vertical construction and sustainability practices, we anticipate that for the year end, we will achieve 48 to 50% of vertical construction from our total mix. This strategy has and will continue to serve us well due to the increased focus on building sustainable and vertical projects. Importantly, these have been supported by favorable federal government housing policies. And more recently, as you may know, from economists who just announced in support of home builders who are making the transition to vertical construction, called in Spanish, Programa de Entrega Anticipada de Vivienda. Infonavit's initial program encouraging vertical construction was announced last year and enhanced the collection of vertical units with an advance of 50% of the total mortgage value when units reach 75% of completion. The conditions of this program have since been changed, and under the new conditions, each home builder will have a revolving credit line equivalent to 10% of its last year collection. Through this line, we will be able to collect on homes that are at the stage of 70% completion, 70% of the value of the Infonavit mortgage if it covers vertical construction, and 50% of the total value of mortgage if it's horizontal. It's important to note that the program is restricted to the size of the program for each home builder. We expect this new program to reduce our need for interim financing to fund working capital investments, and we will keep you updated about the positive impact that this program might have in our cash flow generation. During the quarter, our Mexico division revenues were down by 8.8%, which is a reflection of the effect from the temporary delay that we faced in relation to the housing registry system, RUV, mainly during the first quarter of the year. As a result of these delays, which are most administrative, more specifically permitting and title processing, we slowed down our construction rhythm, mindful of the negative effect delayed collections have on our cash management. During the second quarter, as the RUV has a normalized operation after 2 weeks of initial intermittent operation during the quarter, we speed up our construction rhythm to catch up on the experienced delays which affected title units during the first quarter. Nonetheless, the construction rhythm achieved during the second quarter was not sufficient to achieve the level of completed units needed to reverse the negative results in title units. Also, due to the increased investment requirements of our projects, which are related to the sustainability needs. The effect of this is evident by the increase in construction in progress of 1.6 billion pesos quarter over quarter. It's important to note that the experienced delays in the RUV, which is commonplace for any home builder, are also reflected in Infonavit numbers, where mortgages for new homes on an accumulated basis as of June 30, 2012, declined by 6% during the second quarter of 2012. At the same time that the new housing starts in Mexico accumulated as of May 30, 2012, have declined by 10.6%. Despite the initial learning curve, which the industry is going through to comply with the new requirements of vertical construction and sustainability best practices, we are certain that these changes are for good and in support of the sustainability of the industry, through which an orderly long-term growth is supported, and at the same time that Infonavit ensures a healthy mortgage portfolio. We will continue embracing and supporting practices and changes that are implemented in support of the housing industry. At the same time that we will continue working to minimize the impact that these initiatives have in our company and financial results. I want to be very clear that our lower results in terms of delivered units during the first two quarters of the year do not reflect our sales dynamics, as our sales results continue to be positive and we continue to see opportunities to gain market share in markets where we are operating. The lower results, as I mentioned, are driven by tightening delays and other administrative bottlenecks in the system, as well as from a longer working capital cycle due to our alignment to vertical construction and sustainability best practices. As you know, over the years, we have been instrumental in providing for better efficiencies to the Mexican housing system, and more recently in Brazil, where some practices are obviously difficult to change. Having said that, we continue to do all we can to help alleviate system bottlenecks and have confidence that these efforts will eventually bear fruit for Homex and for the industry. Moving to Brazil. Brazil continues to be an initiative with a long-term potential, and today our operations in Brazil are small with respect to Homex total housing operations in Mexico, and also small when compared to the Brazilian housing market. We will continue following a conservative strategy in Brazil as we continue to learn and adapt our operations to market dynamics at that country. Unfortunately, as part of the learning process, we have continued to experience delays, particularly in the titling process. Thus, our title revenues and units are currently below our expectations for the year. Our infrastructure division, first, we have continued to advance on the construction of the two prisons, which as of today are 50% complete. We are pleased with our progress on this project, and we are well on track to deliver these two facilities during this year. Construction has been completed, and now we are moving to more specialized and higher profit stages related to finishing and to the implementation of high-tech and security. Tasks that also require less time to be completed compared to the first stage. At the same time, during the quarter, we booked 964 million pesos of revenues from the execution of other construction projects with the Mexican government, reflecting our strength as a premier construction company, where we are gaining recognition for quality and dependability. Now, I will turn the call to Carlos to discuss our second quarter of 2012 report.
Thank you, Gerardo, and thank you all for joining us this morning. Before commenting on our second quarter 2012 results, I want to take a few seconds to remind you that pursuant to Article 78 of the general provisions applicable to securities issuers and other participants in the securities market, we're making the transition to international financial reporting standards. Therefore, our second quarter 2012 and 2011 figures are presented under IFRS. Also, as a reminder, under IFRS, pursuant to IAS 23, before that cost of loans, we are now principally capitalizing the interest expense, which differs to Bulletin B6 under INIT 14, where we were also required to capitalize foreign exchange gains or losses. For your convenience, as we have been doing, I will discuss our gross profit adjusted for the capitalization of comprehensive financing costs. Now moving to our quarterly results. In Mexico, during the second quarter of 2012, our title home volume totaled 11,070 homes, a decrease of 8.6% compared to the second quarter of 2011, mainly driven by a 12.4% decline in affordable entry-level collected units. Middle income volume in the second quarter of 2012 increased 90% to 855 homes from the 450 homes during the second quarter of 2011. As a result of a low base comparison, as well as from mortgage availability through Foviste and commercial banks. The average price for title homes in Mexico during the second quarter of 2012 was 351,000 pesos, a decrease of 4.9% when compared to the second quarter of 2011. The average price for the middle income segment was stable at 901,000 pesos compared to 899,000 during 2Q11. As a result of the volume decline, our revenues for Mexico were down 8.8%, mainly driven by the decline of 16.7% in affordable entry-level revenues. As Gerardo mentioned, this was principally driven by the continued effects from the RUV system, our migration to vertical construction, and alignment to sustainability standards from CONAVI and Infonavit. Revenues from Mexico represented 60.8% of total revenues during the second quarter of 2012. In Brazil, we titled 84 homes, an 82% volume decrease when compared to the second quarter of 2011, evidencing the challenging environment at the country with respect to administrative delays in the titling process. Our average price in the country increased by 6.6% to 528,000 pesos from 496,000 during the same period of last year. Our volume decline resulted in a revenue decrease of 80.8%, to 44 million pesos for the period when compared to the second quarter of 2011. For the quarter, revenues from Brazil represented 0.6% of total revenues. During the second quarter of 2012, revenues from our infrastructure division, excluding revenues from the federal penitentiaries, totaled 964 million, derived from our different ongoing contracts with state and federal governments. Revenues from this contract represented 13.4% of total revenues during the second quarter of 2012. For the second quarter of 2012, revenues from the construction of the two federal penitentiaries were 1.8 billion pesos. Revenues from the construction of the penitentiaries were equivalent to 25.1% of total revenues for the quarter. Overall, for the second quarter of 2012, revenues increased 30.7%. to 72 billion pesos from the 5.5 billion from I'm sorry, 72.2 billion pesos from the 5.5 billion in the same period of 2011. Our gross margin for the quarter was 31.5%, as compared to 34.7% in 2011. The margin decline mainly reflects our initial lower gross profit from the penitentiary projects with the federal government, which we expect will improve over the course of the year as the initial heavy construction is finalized and we start the more specialized and higher margin stage of construction and, the, and to a lesser extent, the ramp-up of our operation in Brazil. During the second quarter of 2012, selling, general, and administrative expenses, or SG&A, as a percentage of total revenues, improved 415 basis points from 13.9% in the second quarter of 2011 to 9.7%. Moreover, on a quarterly basis, when compared to the first quarter of 2012, it decreased to 143 basis points from the 11.1%. During the second quarter of 2012, we increased our EBITDA by 34.2% to 1.7 billion pesos from the 1.2 billion reported in the same period in 2011. As a percentage of sales, EBITDA during the second quarter of 2012 improved 61 basis points to 23.1% compared to 22.5% in the same period last year. On a quarterly basis, EBITDA margin improved 32 basis points. Net comprehensive financing cost, which excludes capitalized interest recognized in our cost of goods sold, pursuant to Bulletin IS 23, was 604 million pesos compared to 174 million during the second quarter of 2011. The higher cost of financing during the second quarter of 2012 reflects the recognition of a higher foreign exchange loss during the recent quarter compared to the second quarter of 2011, as well as the interest recognition from non-recourse financing in relation to a penitentiary construction project. The main drivers of the result were the following. First, net interest expense during the recent quarter was 169.5 million pesos compared to 111.3 million in the second quarter of 2011. The higher net interest expense in the period reflects the recognition of interest expense from a long-term non-recourse financing. In second, foreign exchange loan quarter of 2012 totaled 434 million pesos compared to a loss of 62 million in 2011. Net income adjusted by effects for the second quarter of 2012 was 687 million pesos or a 9.6% margin compared to 547 million and a margin of 10% reported in the same period of 2011. The result during the second quarter of 2012 is mainly driven by lower SG&A. Turning now to the balance sheet, as Geraldo previously mentioned, during the quarter, we accelerated our investments in construction in progress to catch up on the experienced delays during the first quarter of the year in relation to the RUV, but the efficiencies gained were not sufficient to achieve the needed level of completed homes to improve our collections for the quarter on an accumulated basis. The higher investments performed during the second quarter impacted directly to our working capital cycle. To discuss our working capital cycle, we are not including the construction advances from the penitentiary projects, which are registered as accounts receivable. And regarding the computation of the cycle in days, we are not considering cost of goods sold or revenues related to these projects. Compared to inventory as of March 31, 2012, inventory, adjusted by the capitalization of comprehensive financing costs, increased by 1.6 billion pesos due to a higher level of construction progress inventory as per the accelerated investments that we made during the second quarter of 2012. Inventory days went up by 52 days to 765 as of June 30, 2012, from 713 days as of March 31, 2012. Here, we also like to note that days of working capital cycle from the first quarter of 2012 slightly differ from that we published during the first quarter results as calculations for the first quarter of the year were performed with our 2011 unaudited figures. During the quarter, and according to our land investment budget for the year, we acquired approximately 400 million pesos of land in Mexico. Land inventory on a quarterly basis was stable at 11 billion pesos as of June 30, 2012. Accounts receivable as of June 30, 2012 increased by 25 days when compared to March 31, 2012, principally driven by the recognition of receivables from our infrastructure division construction works. Housing receivables increased by 7 days to 38 as of June 30, 2012 compared to 31 days as of March, 31st, 2012. Accounts payable days increased 15 days to 126 when compared to March 31st, 2012, mainly driven from the improvement in days of credit with material suppliers, which improved from a level of 86 days to 109 as of June 30, 2012. During the first 6 months of the year, we have maintained our capital expenditures at a minimum level of 13 million pesos. Year over year, our cash position increased by 157 million to 3.9 billion from the 3.8 billion as of the second quarter of 2011. Quarter over quarter, cash position decreased by 1.7 billion pesos as proceeds from the $400 million senior notes issued in February that were not used to repay short-term debt as of March 30, 2012 were effectively used for this purpose during the recent period. Year over year, total housing debt increased by 29.6% or 3.8 billion pesos to 16.8 billion. On a quarterly basis, total housing debt adjusted by the APEX only increased by 2%, equivalent to a total housing debt of 16 billion pesos. Importantly, during the period, we were also in compliance with all of our debt covenants. Be reminded that covenants computations do not include the top-line contributions from our penitentiary project, nor the long-term financing in connection to the execution of the construction of this project. The long-term financing for the 6 months accumulated period totaled 3.2 billion. Please also note that this financing is in a different line in our balance sheet. Now moving to the free cash flow discussion. As you know, since the first quarter of the year, we have started to separate our free cash flow reconciliation to facilitate the analysis of the performance of HOMEX separated from the penitentiary project. As of June 30, 2012, as a result of the 6 months accumulated gain of the peso against the US dollar, our free cash flow reflects the booking of non-cash items as previously disclosed. As of June 30, 2012, the company had a total non-cash positive impact of 388 million pesos, including effects registered in the P&L and the balance sheet. Considering the non-cash effects on a consolidated basis, we generated a negative free cash flow of 4.5 billion pesos, which was mainly driven by the recognition of the advances in construction from the penitentiary project, as according to the required accounting treatment of this project, such advances must be booked as an account receivable. From our other divisions, Mexico, Brazil, infrastructure, and tourism, we generated positive free cash flow of 129 million and adjusted for the 6 month accumulated non-cash foreign exchange gain, negative 259 million. In Mexico, we generated approximately 578 million pesos positive free cash flow and adjusted by the foreign exchange gain, 190 million. Importantly, the positive cash generation without the non-cash foreign gain adjusted was driven by a higher level of accounts payable, which includes approximately 1 billion pesos in relation to the equity stake that we intend to acquire from our only partner at the penitentiary project, therefore becoming the sole owner of the future positive cash flows of the project. Through the agreement that we have signed with our partner, we will have up to 30 months after the delivery of the assets to the Ministry of Security in Mexico to perform the payment. Now, I will turn the call back to Gerardo for some final remarks.
Thank you, Carmen. In view of our lower housing revenues booked in an accumulated basis as of June 30th, 2012, we feel that it's prudent to adjust our yearly top-line guidance, regardless of the fact that we continue to be positive about the future growth prospects in Mexico and Brazil. At the same time, we are conscious about the implied challenges to achieving our original guidance, considering our results from the first half of the year. We will adjust our revenue growth guidance to 3-4%. Without including the contribution from our penitentiary project, and to 51-52% increase, including the contribution of the penitentiary project. We will slightly adjust our EBITDA margin guidance by 100 basis points to 20-21%, which was 21-22%, without the contribution of the federal penitentiary, and to 24 6% from 25 to 27%, including the federal penitentiary. Importantly, we will maintain our guidance for free cash flow generation, and we will continue to follow a conservative investment policy in both land investment and construction in progress investment, where we will take advantage of the already executed investment and a higher level of construction in progress inventory as of June 30, 2012. As a reminder, our free cash flow is 500 to 800 million pesos without the federal penitentiary, and negative 5.7 billion to 6 billion, including the contribution of the federal penitentiary. I trust in the capacity and dedication of our team at each of our four divisions to achieve this adjusted guidance. And we will continue to work hard to reverse the negative initial impact that the implemented initiative, which positively adds to the sustainability and secure a long-term growth in the housing industry in Mexico, have bring. As well, we recognize that these initiatives have impacted differently to home builders, and that these changes are also bringing a bright opportunity. As due to these changes, today, a higher specialization is needed to be competitive, from opening spaces for us to gain market share, and we're working to do so. Finally, I would like to thank you for your support and trust. We look forward with confidence and very much appreciate your continued interest. Now we will take your questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from Carlos Perolongue.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. Three questions, if I may. First one related to Mexico. I see your new guidance of top-line growth of 3 to 4% ex-penitentiaries. For the first half of the year, you have a negative growth of 7.5%. What makes you believe that in the second half of the year, you will be able to achieve positive growth in order to reach this 3 to 4% top-line growth? And the second question related to Brazil, with guidance numbers of top-line growth of 3 to 4%, what would that imply in terms of growth for Brazil in the second half, considering the negative numbers in the first half of the year?
Good morning, Carlos. Thank you for your questions. We feel confident that we will reach the adjusted guidance because the number of new homes, the number of new participants has been reduced, the number of new offer has been reduced, as we mentioned, by more than 10%. That's an opportunity for us. We are, as we said, we are increasing our sales, and the real challenge during the first half of this year was not on the market, but on the collection process. And that's why we have seen in the last weeks we have been able to mitigate those impacts during these three first weeks of this third quarter. Our speed of collection is almost double than the average than the first half of the year. That's why we feel confident that we will be able to mitigate the impact and to reach the new adjusted guidance. In this new guidance, our expectations for Brazil is to maintain the revenue level of 2011. we feel comfortable to reach that level, even the challenges that we are facing in Brazil, because the operation is relatively small, and we are solving the different challenges on the titling process. Then our expectations in the adjusted guidance to grow in Brazil during the full year is 0%, is to maintain the revenue level that we had in 2011. That's why we feel comfortable.
Thank you, Gerardo. So one more question. Related to minority interest, you had a negative minority interest that I believe is related to the purchase of the stake held by a partner in one of the prisons. Is this correct?
Yes, Carlos. This is Carlos. How are you?
Hi.
You are absolutely right. We decided to have to acquire the stake of our only partner in the one of the penitentiaries projects. By doing so, we created an accounts payable in order to reduce the shareholders' equity or our investments in other shares in the balance sheet, therefore canceling the minority interest and creating differences just as a goodwill.
So
we needed to reverse the whatever was registered in the first quarter in the second in order to have this effect.
Understood. And could you share with us, I understand the transaction is closed. You signed an agreement to purchase this stake in the prison?
Yes, we signed an agreement. The transaction is closed. It's pre-accretive for the company in the sense that 100% of the future flows coming from that particular penitentiary will be OMEX's flows. And we believe it's the best course of action for us to follow.
Understood. And can you share with us what percentage of the prison this person had and the price paid for that?
The price that we agreed with the partner is 1.1 billion pesos for its share. It was a cross formula to calculate the percentage of each of the partners in the prison. We agreed to pay that amount in the course of 30 months after the delivery of the assets to the Ministry of Security, Carlos.
And your next question is from Jamie Nicholson.
Hi, thanks for the call. I just want to try to get a little more color on what you're saying about the delays in the administrative delays, because last week CONAVI held their conference call and they mentioned that they didn't feel there were any delays going on and that, in fact, 70% of the subsidy budget had been spent already in the first half of the year. So I'm wondering whether, just how to reconcile this, whether some of the administrative delays with the scoring system were that you were retrofitting some of your housing developments or that it was a state-based issue. If you can provide just a little more color on that. And then secondly, regarding the subsidies, given that CONAVI did mention that the subsidy budget was heavily front-end weighted, how vulnerable are you to a slowdown in subsidies in the second half of the year? Thanks. If at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. The consumption of the subsidy budget that CONAVI mentioned of 70% is related to the scoring system, but it's not directly related. The impact in the scoring system is that if we, in a specific project or a specific home, we have a score that is lower than real or lower than expected from us, we will not be able to collect the home at the expected price. Sometimes we have a reduction of 60,000 pesos, 70,000 pesos per home. That is more than 20% of the sales price. We need to adjust with the RUV, the scoring to the reality, and that process was taking, because we need to present the different proofs of the amenities around our project to be able to upgrade the scoring and to be able to collect the homes at the expected price. Those are the main delays. For Homex, it took more than 6 weeks to do it, specifically project by project. Some of those homes were collected with subsidies. We understand that for the rest of the year, we have only 30% of the budget for the industry in general. We believe that we have an advantage because our higher percentage of vertical, we have a priority in collecting the subsidies. We have seen in the last few weeks how CONAVI is redistributing the subsidies from states and programs that are not using the subsidies as expected to states or programs where homes waiting for the subsidies. We have states or specific projects where we have delays in collection because we're waiting to this weekly reassignment. Subsidies will work with the new administration, but we expect the new Congress will enter in September. We believe that the new budget will be approved around October, November, and maybe, as happened in last year, we will be able to start the subsidy program of 2013 during the end of this year. We are working to do that, but we feel comfortable that as our percentage of vertical is higher than the rest, we will have a priority to collect those subsidies in the future. Even though we are working specifically project by project to find the right customers to mitigate the impact of the scarcity of subsidies.
Okay, that's helpful color. But do you feel that, given your experience in the second quarter trying to meet the scoring system, that at this point you feel like you're delivering homes that are meeting the scoring system? I know you're saying you're waiting for weekly reassignments, but one issue is that given your guidance is now, heavily weighted toward the second half of the year to meet the 3% growth, you have to significantly up the home sales in the second half of the year. And I just want to try to understand how comfortable you are being able to meet that guidance, given that, there have been these challenges with the scoring system. Do you feel that the challenges are resolved enough that you're comfortable meeting that guidance, or is there still some risk that the third quarter also has delays?
Maybe I wasn't clear, Jamie. The weekly reassignment is on the subsidies, and the delays on the scoring system in the last weeks of the first quarter and the first 3 or 4 weeks of the second quarter is already solved for us. We believe that we already have the adequate score, the real score in every project and every home that we are offering. That's why we feel comfortable that we will not have any delays due to the scoring during the second half of the year. The impact on the scoring is that we were not able to collect the homes at the expected sales price. That's why we prefer to delay the collection for not impacting negatively the margin. But that is solved. When we talk about weekly reassignments, it's on the subsidy. And every year we are facing the same challenges and we are learning on how to change or adequate our offering, how to change or adequate the prospects that we're looking for our homes to mitigate the impact of the scarcity of subsidies in some specific programs or price ranges of homes in a specific state. Every year we are facing these challenges. We believe that every year we have more experience to deal with these challenges. We are facing a lower number of competitors, and a significantly lower number of competitors offering verticals, because most of the small and mid-sized home builders, they don't have the technology to provide vertical construction, and that is putting us ahead in terms of the priority to collect subsidies during the second half of this year.
And your next question is from Adrian Huerta.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have a couple of questions. If I can start with just the, if you can give us, I know you provided a little bit of a breakdown on the free cash flow, but if we look at the net, at the change in net debt in the quarter was around a little more than 4 billion pesos. Where, how can we reconcile this with the free cash flow that you provided on the housing business?
Hello, Adrian. This is Carlos. Just in the regarding the reconciliation of the free cash flow from net debt, we are using the exchange rate as of the fourth quarter 11 to do so. So you arrive at 1.9 billion pesos without the penitentiary's impact on the balance sheet. And from that 1.9 billion, we are also considering about 482 million pesos of the goodwill that is related to the shareholder, to the partner that we are acquiring. So that that will take it to a number of approximately 883 million pesos negative for the period.
For the quarter, for the housing business, correct?
Yes, only the housing business, without the penitentiary
project. Okay. Yeah, okay. And then the second one is, I mean, you're providing guidance on EBITDA margins on the housing business for the full year. Can you give us what was the reported margin on the housing business in the first half of the year, and why you are reducing the guidance for the whole year?
Adrian, we're not providing EBITDA margins by division. And regarding to the guidance,
the reason why we adjust the guidance and we reduce it in 100 basis points, and on the positive side, we are still finding room to improve our SG&A efficiency, as we shown during this quarter that we reduce our SG&A as a percentage of sales, but at the same time we are reducing the volume. And we believe that we are being conservative in terms of the increase in the amenities because of the scoring, to improve the scoring system. We are doing an analysis, a cost-benefit analysis on a project-by-project basis, and that's why we feel comfortable on giving this guidance on adjusting the EBITDA in 100 basis points.
Okay, so that means that you're seeing more than 100 basis points pressure on the gross margin side.
No, we are not seeing more pressure. What I was saying is that we are going to improve the margin because of the SG&A, but we will have a negative impact because of the reduction in the volume or the revenues in general. That's why we are reducing the EBITDA margin guidance. That's the only reason.
Excellent. Thank you, Carlos and Gerardo.
Thank you,
Real. Your next question is from Eugenio Amador.
Hi, good morning. This is Vanessa Quiroga. Thank you for the call. My question is regarding the cash flow guidance. Given that on the second quarter there was this increase in suppliers by 1 billion pesos because of the equity stakes, that the actual guidance is negative free cash flow.
Hello, Vanessa. No, the answer is no. It's not included in the guidance. We took it out for calculation purposes before end.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So it's correct. For the rest of the year, you are expecting positive free cash flow of about 1.3 billion pesos positive to be generated in 3Q and 4Q from the business excluding prisons.
Yes. Yes, Vanessa, the considering that the guidance is 500 to 800 million positive for the year, you're right. And the good side, I mean, the positive side of that is that we believe that the investments have been done. And as Gerardo mentioned, the scoring for the company is appropriate. So I believe that we have all the fundamentals in place for us to get there.
Great, thank you. And then a question on suppliers. There has been an improvement, an increase in the day's turnover. What has changed that has led to this improvement? And I was wondering if you think this is sustainable. Thanks.
Thank you, Vanessa. We have been negotiating with our suppliers in all the four divisions to help us to mitigate the impact of this increased time of collection that we are facing with the new requirements. And specifically to your question, we believe that this new level is sustainable. It's not just for this quarter. We believe that in the next quarter, we will be able to maintain or even improve the days of accounts payable with our suppliers. We have been receiving a great support from them. They understand that we are one of the few home builders that are really having a significant volume and enough financial support with them, and they are working with us, and that's why we feel comfortable that the actual level is sustainable in the future.
Great. Thank you, Gerardo, Carlos Bania. Thanks.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Your next question is from Rafael Vino.
Morning, gentlemen. Question on the vertical production. How much advanced are you in terms of producing your targeted level of vertical units at this point?
Thank you, Rafael. The original guidance for the end of the year was to reach 45% of our mix in vertical. We reached that level at the end of the second quarter, and we believe that the new guidance for the end of the year will be in the range of 48 to 50%. That doesn't imply that we require a new investment or to increase our CapEx, because we already have the investment. And that's only a strategic reason to accelerate or to prioritize the Homex collection and the subsidy collection compared with our competitors. We feel comfortable as we have grown from 3% 18 months ago to 45%. We feel comfortable that we will be able to reach the 48 to 50% level at the end of this year.
Is this, Gerardo, is this a result of that process that you described earlier in the call of reviewing the projects and doing the cost benefit of doing vertical versus horizontal and expediting collections? Is that what it means, this increasing the target level?
Yes, Rafael. That's why we are, in some projects, we are accelerating the migration to vertical. And as you said, it's an analysis, a cost-benefit analysis on a project-by-project basis. We have been able to have improvements in the construction time of vertical, and that's why we feel more comfortable to speed up the migration to vertical. We believe that the vertical is a trend that the federal government is promoting, that is adequate, is giving a better quality of life to our clients. We have seen cities in Mexico that in the last 30 years have grown 3 times the population and 10 times the size. That's why we believe that vertical is an adequate measure. It's and it's here to stay, you know? That's why we feel comfortable that we are taking the lead on our offer in vertical construction nationwide.
Thank you, Gerardo. If I may ask another question, this time for Carlos, I'm going back on Perry Long's question on the sale, on the purchase of your partner's stake on the prisons. So you mentioned 1.1 billion pesos. I'm trying to reconcile that. That means 100 that you just reverted, that previously that flowed through your P&L as minorities, plus recording that 1 billion as payables. Just wanted to understand. You mentioned pretty much again. So the price is 1.1 billion, but it wasn't clear to me how much that represents or how much that partner owned of the project. Could you disclose that information for us?
Yes, Rafa. As you mentioned exactly, the price was set to 1.1 billion. The counter account is the minority interest that is reduced in 600 plus million. Because it's what is registered as a stockholder's equity or value for one of the projects. And then the balance is registered as goodwill, 400 plus million pesos are registered as goodwill. I think the accretive portion of or the accretiveness of the operation comes in the future flows. Now we are the sole owners of the future flows. 100% of the capital is now considered ours. We reached the agreement to pay for the equity participation of our partner 30 months after the delivery of the asset. So I think it's a good window of time for us to make it accretive. As I mentioned to Carlos, the formula that we set for the equity participation in one of the projects started with a little bit excess of 24% equity participation of Homex and 76% of equity participation of our partner until the finishing of the asset, because a portion or a good portion of the what we call the civil construction was performed by the partner. So that is reversed, or was meant to be reversed, 76 Homex, 24%. The partner, but right now, that is irrelevant because 100% of the equity is Homex now.
Sorry, Carlos. 76 was you or the partner? Were you before, right?
I'm sorry, Rafa, what did you say?
You acquired 24% of the assets from the partner held 24%, right?
No, the partner has 76% at the first stage, which was the construction. And it was meant to be flipped to 76% Homex after the civil construction. And that didn't happen. We now own 100%.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rafa.
And your next question is from Armando Perez.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. And my question is regarding the breakdown in free cash flow you gave in your press release. According to your press release, there was a cash burn from penitentiaries of 4.6 billion. And my question is, how did you finance the difference between the long-term project financing of 3.2 billion and that for 4.6 billion? Thanks.
Hi, Armando. Effectively, the difference between the 4.6 billion and the financing has been a portion is the apportation of our equity proportion of the project, and the suppliers and the credits, or I don't know if it's credits, and the credits that we're getting from our suppliers. That's what makes up for the difference.
So basically, that difference will be suppliers, because if we check a past quarter, suppliers actually decreased in penitentiaries. So I was wondering.
Manuel. In page 15 of the release, you have the table with the detail on how we get to the adjusted cash flow with and without the penitentiaries. If you feel comfortable, we can follow up on that table with you.
Okay, thanks. And just another question, if I may. According to the press release, you're on a 50% advance of the two penitentiaries. If the contract, total contract was of 10.6, shouldn't it have been, shouldn't you have recognized more revenues? Or is that advance on a timeline?
Sorry, Armando. Yes, you are right. The 50% advance that we are stating in our communications is related to the physical advance of the project.
Okay.
Remember that this is advance of completion, and we received and we made advances to our suppliers and received, for example, the first stages of the technology, which are accounted for, but physically we have advanced 50%+ of the construction.
Perfect. So the total contract is still of 10.6 billion, right?
That is correct.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And your next question is from Marima Torrelanca.
Hi, thanks for the call. I think most of my questions have been answered. I just want to reconfirm that I got this right. The delays you say the delays at the roof, were these related to your scoring system, or are these delays different than the ones you explained regarding your scoring system?
Hi, Marimar. No, the delays are the same delays that we mentioned during the previous call, are delays on the scoring system, because the initial score was automatically assigned, and we need to make a lot of clarifications on the real amenities and the real factors in each project to have the adequate scoring to collect the homes at the expected price. But these are the same delays that we mentioned. As we said before, most of these delays happened during the last 3 weeks of the first quarter and the first 3 weeks of the second quarter. It's already sold. We are working, and we understand that every time a new system, a new policy is implemented, we have some delays at the beginning. That happens everywhere. And we are just working as soon as possible to mitigate that impact. But it's the same situation that we mentioned in the previous call.
Okay, so if nothing changes and no new policies are installed, then you should not see delays in the roof in the second half, right?
Yes, that's what we are expecting. We understand that Infonavit is improving the collection system to improve the quality of their assets, as they include the Saber para Decidir workshop, and they just announced that they will include the credit bureau assessment before giving a new mortgage. They are working on improving the collection, and we still don't know what will be the impact of these new policies in the future, but we are working closely with Infonavit to improve the collection process and at the same time mitigate the impact that it's having in our cash flow.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And your next question is from Javier Gayol.
Oh, sorry, my question has already been answered.
Thank you, Javier.
And your next question is from Vanessa Quiroga.
My questions have been answered. Thanks.
And your next question is from Gordon Lee.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple questions. The first on the sale of the stake in the prison projects. Just out of curiosity, why was it that the partner sold, given that the prospects for the project are as good as they seem to be? And then second, when you say you have a payment in 30 months, is that payment over the next 30 months, or do you have a bullet payment due in 30 months for that amount? And then just on the housing business, specifically to Mexico, you know, it's clear, obviously, that the industry as a whole has suffered from all the issues that you describe, but it seems like you've suffered significantly more than your peers, at least the larger ones. Could you explain why you think that is? Thank you.
Hello, Gordon. Thank you. In relation to your question about the acquisition of our partner's stake, I think it was clear from, at least for us, which have lots more of contact with him, it was clear for us that his interest was in the construction of the asset. They are an independent construction company that have worked for the federal government in other areas, and their expertise is construction. So their main interest was to gain whatever profitability they could in the construction knowledge, and then exited. They were not interested in the concession. So we were interested in the concession. We believe that it's the more accretive part of the business. The return on invested capital, as we know, in that type of concession, which involves so much cash flows locked or accumulated in that period of time, is pretty interesting for us, pretty accretive for the company, I believe. So it was our main interest to get our hands into 100% of those flows. In terms of the payment that we agreed with him, we are we currently have a structure which is not a bullet; it's amortized across the 30 months after the delivery of the assets to the Ministry of Security. It meant to be tied to the flows coming from the concession. In that regard, it will be pretty transparent and for the company's treasury. And that's where we're standing today with that.
In terms of the impact of the scoring system, Gordon, even if we don't have enough information from the other home builder, we believe that due to our geographic diversification, due to the lower concentration of HOMEX in the state of Mexico, due to the higher number of projects by HOMEX compared with any other home builder in Mexico, we need to work, we have a higher workload with the CONAVI to solve the real score in more projects spread all over the country. The concentration, I think that it's important, and we prefer to delay the collection and not to sacrifice the margin. We believe that some companies are sacrificing the margin just to get the collection at any given score. We are not doing that. We prefer to delay some weeks the collection to have the right sales price. Those are the main factors that I can share with you, but I don't have enough information about them or why their impact is lower.
That's very clear. If I could just have one quick follow-up on the sale of the stake in the prison business. Does changing the composition of the consortium in any way affect the specifics of the contract in such a way that there could be a risk of delays?
Hello. No, Gordon, the change in the stake does not affect the contract of the concession in any way. I think that it was clear for the Ministry of Security that the controlling shareholders of that project in particular was HOMEX,
We believe that, again, we have a pretty straightforward relationship with the Ministry of Security in Mexico, and we will continue to leverage on that relationship in the future.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gordon.
And your next question is from Pablo Ramos.
Hi, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo.
And your next question is from Benjamin Terra.
Hello, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to follow up on the free cash flow on this $1 billion, how this goes into calculation, because as of the first quarter, you had a free cash flow of about $1.4 billion, and now it's about $129 million. So there's a difference of $1.3 billion. So $1 billion is due to the Brissons, which is due to this exchange with your partner, which goes into trade accounts payable. Why is this in the free cash flow line without penitentiaries and not on the penitentiaries lines if it's related to that? Can you explain that?
Yes, Benjamin. The $1 billion free cash flow, obviously, is the $1 billion of the which is related to the acquisition of the stake for our partner is in payables, no? And that's one of the main factors out of the $1.3 billion that you mentioned. You also better to consider that our first quarter calculation or our calculation of free cash flow as of March 2012 was done with the unaudited numbers for the 2011 period. Once we have the audited numbers, starting base changed a little, and that also having an impact, as well as the changes in the inventory that are related to the penitentiary projects, which are in the range of 400 plus million pesos, which are accounted for as part of the 1.65 billion pesos in changes in the inventory, also play a part. So we will be happy to reconcile with you line by line if you deem necessary out of page 15 in our release in a specific call.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you, Benjamin.
And your next question is from Francisco Suarez.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. If I may, from a strategy point of view, what is your focus now? It is market share or is free cash flow? Can you actually share with us what is most important for you? Because it seems that for now, those events are mutually exclusive at this moment for you and the rest of the industry.
Thank you, Francisco. Our focus is in cash flow. During this quarter, we were not able to collect as expected, and that's why we have a negative impact. But we believe that at least 2 years, we have been following a better coordination between the investment in construction and the collection. We are not pursuing a higher growth. Our original guidance for this year was our lowest growth guidance in the last 10 years, and with the adjusted guidance, we are reaffirming that we prefer to generate cash flow and not to grow, sacrificing that cash flow. But sometimes, as happened during this quarter, we were not able to show you that because of the delays were more than expected 3 months ago.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that. Also, on Mexican housing operations, you are quite positive on your overall migration to vertical, but so far you haven't been sharing with us more detail on those business lines that are targeting the subsidies in terms of how did you score at the end of the day? How much of those projects that aim for the lower end of the market, how do you did under the scoring system for Conavi? Are you in a position to provide us with a little bit more color on that?
Yes, Francisco, when we learned from this scoring system, we did a cost-benefit analysis on every project, because sometimes the required amenities to improve the scoring were more expensive than the marginal increase in revenues from upgrading the scoring. As you may know, the scoring is home-by-home basis. Most of our projects are number two and are in the scoring number two and number one. And maybe later for the next call, we can give you a more detailed number in terms of the percentage of homes that are on every score or in every level. No?
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And lastly, if I may, on the penitentiaries, does the buyout of your partner affect it in any way the overall operation on the quarry? Because I was a little bit surprised of how you booked lower revenues this quarter compared to the first quarter.
Thank you, Francisco. No, the acquisition of this stake doesn't have any impact on the revenues. It's important to mention that we did not provide any specific guidance, quarterly guidance on revenue recognition by the penitentiary. But in general, we believe that the second quarter is the lower quarter in terms of revenue recognition, because we are only working on the civil works. In the first quarter, we recognize the original investment, the recognition of the land, the projects, and civil work. During the second quarter, we are just recognizing civil work. And during the third and fourth, we will be recognizing the remaining of civil work, all the finishings, the equipment, and all the technology that is an important part of the cost. That's why the third and the fourth will be higher compared with the second and the first. We still feel comfortable that during this year we will be delivering both prisons to the federal government.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Francisco.
And your next question is from Aaron Holzberg. Your next question is from Eric Olam.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I just have a question on, say, the relative EBITDA between the penitentiary and the housing business. I know that you do not disclose that, but you do disclose what the revenues were. So, roughly, if I took historical margins and applied that to the non-penitentiary revenues, I would get an $80, $85 million EBITDA from the non-penitentiary business. And then I can back into what the EBITDA would be for the penitentiary business. Is that a rough estimate? Would that be correct?
Thank you, Eric. If you are coming out from the reconciliation that we provided, the answer is yes. It would be fair to assume that.
Okay. Okay. And then just, I missed this part of the call. You did discuss some of the, a fund to help pay for the vertical housing, or how it's to be, the revenues to be recognized. Can you just go over that again? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Eric, could you repeat your question, because I
couldn't
understand.
Sure. That there was, you talked about a fund used, or that's being set up that you can draw down to help pay for the vertical housing. Was I correct in hearing it that way? If I'm incorrect, I apologize.
Thanks, Eric. No, what we try to explain is that the vertical construction, as is promoted by the federal government, has a priority for collecting the subsidies and the mortgages from Infonavit. And as Homex is the company with the highest percentage of vertical, in most of the states and in most of the weeks during the second half of this year, we will be paid earlier than the rest.
Okay.
It's not a specific fund. It's just a priority that the government is giving us for offering vertical homes instead of horizontal homes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
And your next question is from Jose Betty. Jose, your line is open.
Oh, my question was already answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
And your last question is from Vivian Salomon.
Hi, just two quick questions here. Just the first one, can you remind us the delivery date of both penitentiaries for this year? And my second question is, I mean, the first half of the year, everything was all about the RUV system. And now your revenue is concentrated on the second half of this year. But what else could we expect to go, I mean, not go wrong, but what could experience some difficulties coming, especially from Infonavit, since we've been seeing that the mortgage availability for new homes is lower, and that new plans that continue to put more barriers into the time of giving a mortgage have been, such as the CONALEP or even the credit bureau. What else could go wrong for, or seeing the downside to your new guidance coming specifically from the industry in the second half?
Thank you, Vivian. Regarding the prisons, the delivery time hasn't changed. We are expecting to deliver the first asset by the end of the third quarter and the second asset in the early part of the fourth quarter this year. That hasn't changed at all. We are confident that with the current speed of construction, the technology that we have already requested to the suppliers and the technical advantages or the assistance that we have from our own experts, we will be able to deliver within those dates the assets to the ministry.
Okay, thank you.
And Vivian, regarding your question on the collections for the second half, we believe that we are taking into consideration all the different factors that we have listened from Infonavit, like the Saber para Decidir workshop, the credit bureau assessment, the scoring system, the actual state of the subsidies in the different programs and the different states. We don't have more information about new procedures that will be implemented by Infonavit or CONAVI. The information that we are giving, the guidance that we're giving, is taking into consideration the information that we have today. As we mentioned earlier, we still don't know what will be the impact of the new subsidy program from the new federal administration that will start in December 1st. We believe that we will have continuity in the sector, in the different institutions, and we feel comfortable that it will be for good, this transition, after the great experiences that we have 6 years ago.
Okay, thank you so much, Gerardo and Carlos.
Thank you, Vivian.
There are no further questions. Vani, do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, thank you, Patsy. We just want to thank you for connecting to our call. And if you have any follow-up questions, you know the numbers at which you can find us. And also, at our webpage, you will find the replay of this call in about 1 or 2 hours. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.